week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 11th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin in Ghana, where action is continuing at the African Games. Egypt, Algeria, and South Africa top the medals table, entering Monday's events at the African Sports Jamboree. Egypt was in first place with 66 medals, including 36 gold. Algeria had 39 medals, including 8 gold. And South Africa had 28 medals, including 8 gold. Host Ghana made a splash in men's swimming, winning its first ever African Games medal in the sport. Yawafusu Larbi tells us more from Accra. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The Bottiman Aquatic Center let out a loud cheer as Ghana won a first ever medal in swimming at the African Games. 24-year-old Abeku Jackson swam into second place in the men's 50-meter butterfly race to win silver for the country. Abeku began his Ghana career at 14 at the Commonwealth Games in Glasgow, and it has taken him a full decade to reach this point. He was delighted for the win.
Of course, it's obviously a stepping stone, but you have to celebrate it because it's your celebration that pushes the athletes to move forward and win, not to demotivate the athletes and question them on whether they're going to win medal. It's actually to push them and to let them know that you have their full support. You are behind them as Ghanaians, and keep them in your prayers to push them forward to win medals.
Olympic swimming legend Michael Phelps is an icon for many young swimmers across the world, and Abeku is no exception. For him, swimming comes with a level of mental fortitude, and it is something he learned while watching Phelps in the pool. Abeku has qualified for the Olympic Games in Paris and will be looking to put his name up amongst the best in the world.
I mean, he's always been my mentor, not because of his physique or who he is as a person, but it's his mental ability to stand up and rise to the occasion. It's also my mental ability to stand up and rise to an occasion when needed. And the fact that he's able to do it, go out of retirement and come back again to do it again, it speaks a lot about him. So that's why he's my mentor.
Ghana's swim team got particularly close in the previous swimming events. In the men's 100-meter freestyle, Harry Stacey finished fourth, and then the country finished fourth again in the 100-meter freestyle mixed relay. But team captain Abeku believes his win will inspire the team to do well.
Harry got fourth position. I was so excited for him, especially dropping on his personal best. You have to look for these small achievements. Medal means a lot. This medal will probably mean everything to me, but it's a stepping stone to get there. Yesterday we were fourth, today we have silver medal. Who knows what tomorrow holds? We're just looking forward to pushing and pushing and pushing until we reach the final goal.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yawafusu Larbi in Accra.
Thanks, Yao. Team Nigeria was in fourth place on the African Games medal table entering Monday's events. The Nigerians had tallied 26 medals, including 7 gold. Now, 6 of those gold came Sunday in women's weightlifting. The Iraqi Mohammed Jaloud is the president of the International Weightlifting Federation. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Jaloud said he's excited to be in Ghana for the African Games.
First, I would like to say this is first time I visit Ghana. It is a beautiful country, especially Accra. It's a very dynamic city. And I'm so happy that weightlifting is included in African Games. Weightlifting is in Africa, I think, take high priority. Because weightlifting here with 10 categories for men, 10 categories for women, and 3 medals in each category, this has never happened to any continent in Asia or Europe or Pan America or Oceania. I think the biggest support from the ANOCA to weightlifting in Africa. I'm so happy.
All right, sir. Very soon we'll go for the Olympic Games in France. So what are we expecting in France, especially from the African countries? Which are the African countries that you expect to do well?
You know, next month, 1st of April until 12th of April, the last competition in qualification to in Phuket, Thailand. And after that, we can announce which the top 10 qualify to Paris. But I think many countries have now chance from Africa, like Egypt will be fighting for medals, Nigeria, Tunis, Algeria, Cameroon, many countries from Africa now in the top 10. That means Africa is so strong in weightlifting.
What do you do about the issue of doping in weightlifting? How serious do you take it?
Doping in weightlifting, we working very, very closely with ITA. And I am so happy because 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games, zero doping. Now we have five big competition in Saudi Arabia. All our lifters compete. Saudi Arabia, in Qatar, in Mexico, in Asian Games. Five big events, there is no doping. And this is show us that the culture of doping now completely changed in IWF. We will continue this. We need also reach to zero doping in Paris, and this is our aim. We're working very closely with ITA, and I appreciate what done ITA to clean our sport. Even International Weightlifting Federation Executive Board spend a lot of money to fighting against doping. I'm happy because majority of our competition in last is zero doping, and I hope in Paris zero doping to be clean our home from this doping.
That's Mohammed Jaloud, the president of the International Weightlifting Federation, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Accra, Ghana.
Sporty greeting. This is Mohammed Hassan Jaloud, president of International Weightlifting Federation. You are listening to the Sony side of Spoke on the Voice of America.
The world's number one ranked golfer, American Scottie Scheffler, has won the Arnold Palmer Invitational Tournament in Orlando, Florida. George McNeely reports from Orlando.
Piping hot putting helped Scottie Scheffler win his seventh PGA Tour title on Sunday, his second Arnold Palmer Invitational in 3 years, and a $4 million paycheck.
Yeah, it's really special. Mr. Palmer meant a lot to me, meant a lot to us as professional golfers and the game of golf. And so it's very special to be able to sit here and wear his red sweater again. And I'm very proud to be the champion of his tournament.
The world number one who captured this event and three others in 2022, including the Masters, returned with a new mallet-style putter and fired a final round 6-under par 66 to finish with a five-shot victory over reigning U.S. Open champion Wyndham Clark. Scheffler played his final 25 holes without a bogey.
Keeping the mind as quiet as possible, and part of the problem is just trying too hard. It's frustrating to not be, not have the best of myself, just because I know that I can putt really well. It's not like, I've been a bad putter my whole career. I've just gone through a stretch where it's been tough.
As well as you played, are you surprised to see your closest pursuers shoot the way they did today? Even par, minus two was the best that anyone could muster atop the leaderboard.
Yeah, it's just around this golf course, it gets so much harder as the day goes on, just because the greens get firmer, they get crustier, they get harder to putt. It's harder to hit your shots closer to the hole. I mean, if you looked at the scoring average over the years between the afternoon waves and the morning waves, especially when you get to Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's probably a pretty significant difference, especially on Friday, just because everybody in the field is kind of playing even. Saturday and Sunday, it may not be as big of a difference because the guys at the bottom of the leaderboard aren't playing as well as the guys at the top. But the golf course is significantly more difficult here in the afternoon than it is in the morning.
Scheffler's 15-under par performance was the largest margin of victory here in a dozen years. Shane Lowry, who led or co-led in each of the first three rounds, shot even par 72, as did Will Zalatoris and Russell Henley. Lowry ended the week alone in third place at 9-under par, while Henley and Zalatoris tied for fourth at minus seven. It's hard to believe, but this was Scheffler's first win in 51 weeks as he heads north to Ponte Vedra Beach and TPC Sawgrass to begin defense of last year's Players Championship title. From the Arnold Palmer Invitational, presented by MasterCard in Orlando, Florida, I'm George McNeely reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports.
Thanks, George. Pro boxing on the Sunny Side of Sports. Former world heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua knocked out Francis Ngannou in the second round of their non-title bout in Saudi Arabia. For post-fight analysis, let's climb between the ropes with my VOA colleague Mukbil Yabaro and our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Sporty greetings, Mukbil.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. What's going on?
And sporty greetings to the Hollywood man, Nnamdi Moeta.
Live and direct from the Golden State, bro.
Nnamdi, devastating destruction from AJ in Saudi Arabia. What was your reaction to that knockout?
Sonny, go back to our last chat. I said, if he gets Ngannou round one, he has no choice but to step in and take him out cold. I said it. It was a great fight. Knockout of the year right there, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, go back and look at those three knockdowns, man. Oh, man. Send shit down your body. Bro was out cold, and they had to bring in a gas mask to bring him up. It was scary.
Wow.
Man, that was tough. Hollywood, if you just look at the difference between the Tyson Fury Ngannou fight versus the AJ versus Ngannou fight, what do you think AJ did correctly maybe that Tyson may have missed out on?
Well, we all knew Tyson going into that fight was there just to pick up a payday. No, for real, man. You know, I mean, he went there and picked up like $50 million, you know, and he wasn't in shape, and he wasn't there, really. Mm-hmm. So that third round knockdown really woke him up. He would have lost the fight. A lot of people felt he lost the fight. With AJ, you could see the confidence now. You could see the solid jab, you know. Ngannou was there to be hit, you know. Remember, it's the same punch that dropped him three times. And if you think about it, the third knockdown, the referee should have stepped in after the second knockdown because the third knockdown was not necessary because he was already out after the second knockdown in the second round.
Nnamdi, talk about what's next for both fighters. I mean, Ngannou, I know he's, you know, knockout loss, but, you know, he had his first two professional fights, Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua. Does he need to maybe go back down and, you know, kind of fight mid-level opponents?
No, not after you made $30 million from two fights, Sonny. Come on, it doesn't work that way. Listen, he made $30 million guaranteed. The pay-per-view cut and the foreign TV rights will bring another $40 million. Mm. He can afford to stage his own fights in Africa, in Cameroon, and bring out bombs to knock out. All he needs is a couple of wins. He cannot go back to MMA. Yes, they want him to go back to MMA, but MMA don't pay. The money he made from these two fights, he couldn't even make it in his whole career in MMA. So
good point. Good point.
He has no business going back to MMA. Boxing is the real deal. Set him up, get two knockouts, three knockouts. The fight fans will never forget that he dropped Tyson Fury. The fight fans are still saying Ngannou won that fight against Tyson Fury. Why will he go back to MMA for peanuts, man? No.
No, valid Hollywood. Here are my thoughts, and you can, put your two cents into it. If I'm looking at Francis Ngannou now, and I'm a professional fighter that has been in that championship caliber, whether it be the Andy Ruiz's of the world or, you know, somebody along those lines where, hey, I know I can fight this guy, and he's not really a boxer per se, so why not go in there and we both make some money? Is Francis Ngannou turning into the new cash cow of boxing?
Oh, definitely. Saudi Arabia will put up more money to see Ngannou after one or two wins, which they will bring him back to Saudi Arabia and give him two easy fights. And then the fight with Ngannou and Deontay Wilder. Wouldn't you pay to see that fight, Mukbil?
Absolutely. I would pay right now.
That's our two punchers right there. Two dangerous punchers. Two guys can knock out a cow each.
Namdi, let's talk a little bit about venue. Saudi Arabia, is that now the hotbed for pro boxing? I mean, I know Vegas has staged so many world title fights, but lately it seems like Riyadh is the place to be.
Riyadh has eaten the lunch of Las Vegas, man. Forget Las Vegas, man. Look what he's talking about. Las Vegas is begging for a little fights, man. If you cannot stage a heavyweight fight, that means you're not happening, man. For us in the fight game, the heavyweight fight brings out the best in the game. Because you know when you go in there, somebody's going to go down. Mm. I mean, what made the fight Saturday with Anthony Joshua and Ngannou was the three knockdowns, you know. Mm-hmm. You don't go there to look at two big men running around the ring, holding, grabbing, and this 12-round decision. No. Heavyweight fight must have the guy on the on the floor out, cold. The referee counting up to 100, he will still be there.
Absolutely. You know? No, I'm with you on that, Namdi. Here's my next question to you. Anthony Joshua versus Tyson Fury, do we see that? And how long does it take? What are the pathways that we potentially see that fight?
Good question, Mugbill. You know what's going to happen? May, Fury will fight Usyk. Mm-hmm. And there's a rematch clause in the contract that said, win or lose, he must give Usyk a rematch. Are you listening to me now?
Yes, yes.
Okay, now. This is where Saudi Arabia comes in with the money. Okay, say Fury knocks out Usyk, nobody wants to see a rematch.
Right.
Then Saudi Arabia will put some money on the table, what we call step-aside money. So they will give Usyk step-aside money. Uh-huh. Usyk would step aside with like $10 million, and then we're going to see strikes in Fury against
the fight we've been waiting to see for years.
That is the fight, and that's, listen, I'm telling you now, we're going to look for that one around summer 2024. Ooh. Forget the rematch clause, bro.
Hey, Namdi, I know Fury versus AJ is the fight all fight fans want to see. I gotta believe though, if we compare what Ngannou did against AJ to what Fury might do, don't you think we'll see a little more movement from Tyson Fury if he does get in the ring with AJ?
Let me tell you something. Do you know who's training AJ now? Ben Davidson, the former trainer of Tyson Fury. Okay, now you know what I'm talking about. He's got all...
he knows all the weaknesses.
He's got all the secrets in the box, bro.
Training camp is interesting.
Sonny, your late friend, Angelo Dundee, will say, hey, he will do a number. Come on, he's got all the secrets, man.
Well, how let's get back to AJ Ngannou, Namdi. Tactically, did you think Ngannou fought a good fight? I mean, it didn't last very long, but, you know, I just didn't see much movement from him.
Come on, Ngannou came there for the knockouts. Ngannou is a puncher, and he had a puncher's chance. Ngannou didn't come there to box for 12 rounds. Ngannou was aiming for Anthony Joshua's chin, because he knows Anthony Joshua has a glass chin. So you don't do that by running. You stand right there, you drop your bomb, and in the process, you were wide open for the big right hand.
Yeah.
And what still blows my mind, the same punch dropped him three times. Defense.
But you, from what I saw, though, Namdi, was that, you know, he kept throwing his left every time, or even when he goes over with the right, there was no feints. So my question is, how involved was Mike Tyson in this training camp for Ngannou? Because we saw a more disciplined fighter in Ngannou against Tyson Fury. He was throwing, he seemed like he was boxing a little bit more than he was against AJ.
Good question, Mugbill. You know, Tyson Fury was not in this camp. Tyson Fury was not at the fight because Tyson Fury has a big fish to fry with Jake Paul.
Mike Tyson, Iron Mike. Yeah.
Yeah. So he will have looked real bad to see Iron Mike in that corner, and you see watching Ngannou being knocked out cold,
right,
knowing fully well that Mike Tyson will be going against Jake Paul at Cowboy Stadium, and that will be on Netflix.
Ooh, exciting. So another exciting
that
one.
That was spoil that dance. So right. It was a smart move for him to stay away from that embarrassment in Saudi Arabia Saturday night.
Namdi, July 20th, you just mentioned it. Mike Tyson versus the YouTube man, Jake Paul, AT&T Stadium near Dallas, Texas. Tyson giving up, I think, 30 years in age to Jake Paul. But I think the Hollywood man thinks old Jake Paul ain't going to last too long with Iron Mike.
You see the way we in the boxing game feel about Ngannou fighting Anthony Joshua. We were so happy when Anthony Joshua flattened Ngannou. Listen, everybody in the game, we want to see Iron Mike knock out this clown, really. And that's why we're paying. And check this out. Netflix is showing this fight free for the first time.
Wow.
You're talking about eyeballs. More than 290 million people have Netflix around the globe.
Wow.
You are in Abidjan, you are in Lagos. You can see it for free.
That's going to be crazy.
This is a big fight. We want to see Iron Mike do a number on this clown. And the only way this will happen is if Mike will just go there. Mike still got it. This guy is just all hype, YouTube, TikTok. A lot of disrespect for the fight game. Tyson will do a number, and Tyson will knock him out. Anything less than that, forget about the age difference.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I think anybody who's, you know, a boxing enthusiast understands the difference between fighting YouTubers or fighting, you know, retired athletes that have never boxed. So none of this stuff matters when it comes down to a Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson. It's going to be a great payday for Mike Tyson, I'll tell you that much. And I'm pretty sure if I'm, you know, I wouldn't even say leaning towards, I don't see I haven't seen anything from Jake Paul's fighting that would cause any problems for Mike Tyson, even in his age today.
Mark, we'll go and look at all the people Jake Paul fought, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just a bunch of nobodies, Uber drivers and
yeah.
so on. Come on, man. You can't put that in with Iron Mike, man. Iron Mike, the real Iron Mike will run him out of the ring quick. That's why we want to pay to see this fight. You know? And the Cowboy Stadium will sell out. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Namdi, let's get back to that. The big fight card in Riyadh. What about the undercard? What happened there in Riyadh?
Man, the Chinese giant Zhang. Remember the way in? He weighed like 293 pounds. And we in the fight game, when we look at it, dude, you're gonna run out of gas, man.
Mm-hmm.
You weigh 293 on Friday, and the fight is on Saturday, which means fight night you're gonna be 300 plus.
Right.
Wow.
So he's got those two knockdowns. He thought he won the fight. But Parker just did an armbar on him, you know. He got tired, even in the later part of the fight. He had nothing left, you know. I mean, this is a guy that has power, mm-hmm. but he lost the fight in the corner. In the fight game, when we say he lost the fight in the corner, it means everybody, your trainer, everybody were clueless. You couldn't adjust. You couldn't switch anything. It hitting you with the same shot. You were just looking for the big punch for the whole 12 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a huge disappointment.
Where do you put Joseph Parker now in the heavyweight pantheon?
He's still a small heavyweight, but he's a very slick heavyweight, you know. He can out-hustle you. He doesn't have the power. He doesn't have the power of AJ or Deontay Wilder. But look at what he did at Deontay. So he's a very slick fighter. This is one heavyweight that if I have a heavyweight fighter, I'm going to avoid him. I'm going to run away from him. I'm not kidding you. In the fight game, there are people you will run away from, you know. You come up and say, the money's not there. I'm not fighting you. I'm gone.
Yeah, Namdi, he kind of reminds me of someone like Andy Ruiz, where you kind of look at him. You may overlook him, but, you know, tactically, he's very, very sound. What do you think he needs to do in order to kind of draw in? Because his fighting style is also not, quote unquote, you know, pay-per-view, super exciting. What would he need to do, or what does his team need to do to kind of heighten his profile?
Not Martin, you know, we used to call him a jab and grab guy. Mm-hmm. He can put you to sleep, you know. For real, you know, I mean, he doesn't bring excitement. He will not score a knockdown because he doesn't have the power punch to give you a knockout or a knockdown. So you expect it to go 12 rounds. So this is one guy everybody will avoid, really. Anthony Joshua, I don't need to fight him. People say, oh, Anthony Joshua needs to go and fight him. He cannot fight Tyson Fury because he's a good friend of Tyson Fury. Mm. So, really, there's really no money there for him. You know, he's a good fighter. Like you said, tactically, he's a good fighter, but he does not bring the excitement in the division, you know. He's not a fan-friendly guy. You know, he'll box your ears off.
Nandi, let's move to the African fighters. I know, you know, some of the top amateurs are competing at the African Games in Ghana. But what about at the professional ranks? Any updates on some of the African fighters?
You know, remember like I mentioned Azuma Nelson the last time we had a chat. Ike Kwate, we just don't have it now. It's really sad, you know. We don't have, well, what am I talking about? Efe Ajagba, for God's sake. Our heavyweight from Nigeria is about to go back on ESPN. So that's a good hope for us. But other than that, in the past, in the 80s, the early 90s, man, we got guys giving us action on TV from Africa, you know. But now we just have few, and they come here, they come as gatekeeper, you know, which means you know what's going to happen. They're going to knock them out, and they go home and change their money. It's a big deal. So Efe Ajagba is the only one left. We don't really have that much. Nothing coming out of Ghana as of now or coming out of Congo or South Africa, you know. It's really sad.
Yeah, Nnamdi, what do you think we need to do on the continent if it comes to, you know, like infrastructure or, you know, promoting the boxing game in Africa?
Corporate sponsors, you know. That's why I'm so happy that Netflix is stepping into the game now with the Iron Mike and Jake Paul fight. That will help because everybody watches Netflix all over the world, you know. So when it comes to Africa, corporate sponsor is number one. We don't wait for the government to do everything. There's a lot going on in Lagos, Nigeria now, and they're putting on fights. Promoters have to put up fights. Television have to pay, you know. If you depend on Live Gate, both the policeman and all their friends and everybody, they're going to get him free. How do you expect the promoter to pay the fighter, you know? So there has to be a good amateur program, good corporate sponsorship, and then the boys have to go for tournaments, you know.
That net. Go ahead, Nnamdi. Go ahead.
Yeah, they have to go for tournaments outside their own country, outside the continent, to keep them sharp.
That Netflix involvement in Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, Nnamdi, I mean, it strikes me as, like you said, a huge win for pro boxing. But do you think that fight is going to be bigger in terms of gross than AJ Ngannou?
No. Well, Iron Mike is huge. The penetration of Netflix is major, you know. Not only Netflix, Amazon has also got an into boxing prime spots. And this month, they're going to come up with some fights. The next Canelo fight is going to be on Amazon Prime Sports.
Wow.
So a lot of movements going on now, and we're very happy about it. Netflix will get a lot of eyeballs, and there will be another good thing about this fight with Jake Paul and Iron Mike. There's going to be a good on the card, which gives the new stars to rise.
Nnamdi, I got to interrupt you, bro. As Chaka Sala used to say, time is not our ally, bro. Time is not our ally. I want to thank our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moueta, as well as producer and VOA sports reporter, Mukbil Yabaro. Thanks also to VOA engineer, Joe Gill. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.